Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
5 years ago this Sunday, the bubble burst. Fears that the amount of debt in the economy had outstripped the available cash in the marketplace, combined with a suddenly dubious value of billions of dollars of the outstanding debt, exploded in the failure of financial services firm Lehman Brothers. Jeff Connaughton, did you see it coming?
Absolutely not. I thought we had in place a legal and a regulatory system that would prevent absolute catastrophes from happening, that there couldn't be such an event as that. But we were all wrong. The legal and regulatory system had completely eroded, and banks were doing things that not even Chairman Bernanke at the Fed or our other top regulators really had any idea were happening.
Jeff Connaughton is a former lobbyist, a White House lawyer, a Senate aide. He's the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins. So, Jeff, it might be fair to say that what you were saying back in 2007 might have sounded a little bit like what James Gorman, the CEO of Morgan Stanley, said just the other day.
The probability of it happening again in our lifetime is as close to zero as I could imagine. The way these firms are managed, the amount of capital that they have, the amount of liquidity that they have, the changes in their business mix, it's dramatic. We have constant connections with our regulators about what we're doing across all of our businesses. The transparency of information that flows between those who regulate and those being regulated is tremendous.
So it's all fixed, right, Jeff?
Well, he'd be the last person whose word I would take for it. And it's preposterous that he would say that, because it was just last year that the Senate did extensive hearings into the J.P. Morgan London whale trading losses, which eventually amounted to $6 billion. And Jamie Dimon, the CEO, and others at the top of J.P. Morgan purported to have absolutely no knowledge of what was happening inside their own bank. So nothing has changed in the sense that we don't have the kind of transparency and the absolute knowledge of the systemic risks that might be building up within these banks, as that CEO just claimed. I mean, there's no doubt that the regulators are chastened by the catastrophe, that they're trying harder, that the banks are under greater scrutiny. But they're so complex, they're so vast, they're so powerful, they're so determined, frankly, to fight regulation, that I don't take any confidence from his statement at all.
Okay, so let's talk about how this works in Congress. I mean, what James Gorman, CEO of Morgan Stanley, is telling Charlie Rose there this month is that a process took place in Washington. I suspect he's talking about the Dodd-Frank regulatory scheme that was passed in the wake of the Great Recession. That regulators got together, Congress got together, fixed this system. The way you saw that come down as someone who watched that system happen, what do you think really happened?
Well, we didn't do nearly enough. We didn't do any structural reform of the banking system in statute. I mean, what happened after the Great Depression, or after the great stock market crash of 29, was that Congress passed the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated commercial from investment banking and insured the federal deposits of commercial banks. But Congress repealed that act in 1999, deregulated, never regulated derivatives. And so what should have happened in Congress was we should have done in statute something structurally to reduce the size and the leverage that these gigantic mega banks, which are even larger today than they were before the crisis, could undertake. Instead, Dodd-Frank is a very weak law. I mean, it's not even a law in the way we think of a law. It's a series of hundreds of instructions to regulators to write rules. And most of those rules haven't been implemented.
And the writing of the rules is the subject of what lobbyists do. They have input into that process.
Absolutely. And the big banks have fought with a ferocity that is really quite remarkable. I mean, on the one hand, they're saying in interviews, you know, everything's fine, you know, there's transparency with the regulators. On the other hand, they have an army of lawyers in Washington who are going into these regulatory agencies, helping to write these rules in a way that have loopholes. I mean, we just heard in the Wall Street Journal today that the Volcker Rule, which might have been the one good thing, you know, in Dodd-Frank, even though it itself had been watered down in its final form, may turn out to be a 900-page rule. I don't understand that. I don't understand how regulators can take what are admittedly already complex ideas and then make them even more complex by writing reams and reams of pages of rules. So we should have broken up the banks.
But that's a message that has an uphill battle against the Democrats that really were responsible for the deregulations in the 90s. Chris Dodd, in some ways, is a part of the team that got rid of Glass-Steagall during the Clinton administration. When it came time to think about putting that back on, he wanted nothing whatsoever to do with it. Do you think Chris Dodd has a moral leg to stand on, looking back at the act that has his name on it?
Well, it's not just him. It's also the Obama administration. I mean, the first draft of a working paper of what the Dodd-Frank bill ultimately would look like was done by Larry Summers and Tim Geithner and officials within the Obama administration. And when that white paper came out, it was marginal changes to the existing financial regulatory system. Chris Dodd himself said just a few days ago that he isn't confident that too big to fail has been dealt with effectively. Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, has said if we don't have rules implemented by the end of this year which allow us to say with a straight face, his words, that we have ended too big to fail, then we may have to contemplate additional solutions.
What's your experience in Washington in all of this that you found most disillusioning, heartbreaking about a process that you really believed in when you were a wide-eyed acolyte of then-Senator Joe Biden?
During my 20-year career in Washington, the amount of money that corporations spend in Washington, in particular Wall Street, more than tripled. And the plain fact of the matter is, you know, there is so much money to be made by both future and former public servants that I believe it skews outcomes. So you want to think that public officials will work for the taxpayer and be independent and act with integrity while they're in government and do the right thing. But it too often is the case that there is a big Christmas present sitting at the foot of the bed when they're finished with their public service and to the tune of millions of dollars of booty in private practice.
Well, Christmas came early this year, that's for sure. Jeff Connaughton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeff Connaughton is a former lobbyist, White House lawyer, and Senate aide. He's the author of The Payoff, Why Wall Street Always Wins.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.